Maggie Wall, a witch fae Dunning, Perthshire. A conspiracy theory. A clandestine council meeting somewhere in Perth. 14th of April, 1657. Present, Robert Corey o' Eglinton, landowner. John McLeish, judge fae Perth High Court. James McPherson, minister. Willie Dornock, colonel fae the local garrison. And Lord Donald Strathwellan. The five men sat at a big wheel polished table, their countenance grave and serious. What are we going to do? Robert Corey o' Eglinton asked. I have nae idea, Rab, John McLeish answered. Well, we need to do something. We canna let this go on, Lord Donald stated. I ken. A friend of mine was a doctor was telling me our 300 good folk were condemned as witches in the last few years and burnt or hung. And some because a wee lassie accused them. The juices of youth running through her body and she was listened to. A hysterical wee lassie. And folk indeed, James McPherson said sadly. What's the world coming to? What's Scotland coming to? That we would allow such a thing to pass. Councillor Willie Dornock muttered. Men, women and even bairns burnt. My soldiers have nae stomach for their old dames. Aye, and they want mair, the king and the kirk. They aye want mair, James said. We're learned folk. We grand old institutions like our universities. And what about the good folk who are scunnered as well as afeard for their ain souls? This is a terrible curse that has nae rhyme nor good reason to be allowed to carry on, Lord Donald remarked. It's a sair affliction and it's our ain folk that are suffering, James burst out. Right, and that's what we're here to stop, and by God, with his help, we will. Lord Donald's voice rose. Think, gentlemen, think, and come up with something to put an end to this affront. We have 12 weeks before we gather again, and I'll be looking for a wheen of ideas to that end. The men nodded, rose quietly, and left the chamber. Extraordinary council gathering 12 weeks after. Well, friends, have we any ideas? Time is overtaking us, Lord Donald stated. Well, we could petition the council. There mun be others that think the same as ourselves. Ever the politician, will he look it for ways to keep his sail on the right side of the law? Aye, the thing with official objection is we could end up being accused ourselves, Judge John retorted. What about doing something for the pulpit, James? Is there any way we could influence the kirk? Oh, I wouldn't care to try it. Maist are against it, but a wheen of them are still for it and preach it all hell fire on the Sabbath. What about doing something at the source then? Could we not tack the accusers in hoan? Bruce furrowed down as they tackled their ideas. Another 15 minutes went by, and they were deep in discussion when Robert held up his horn. Gentlemen, I maun crave your indulgence and ask a favour frae ye a'. You have it, Rab. What's in your thoughts? Well, there's one thing I want you to take into consideration and do it without prejudice. Noo, if you'll give me leave. Robert rang the small handbell at his side and a maid appeared at the door. Would you summon my wife here? The maid nodded. I mean it, sir. And after a curtsy, she was awol. Your wife, Rab? What's that gentle woman to do with any of their evils? James asked. She's a staid, learned and good woman. I told her about our dilemma after our last meeting, and yestreen she came to me with such a bonny design. It near taking the breath by me. Now, my friends, will you listen to her? They all looked at each other and then nodded. There was a canny knock at the door and Elspeth Corey entered. The maid stood and Lily ushered her to a chair. Her demeanour was respectful and her een was downcast as she gathered herself into the chair. "Noo, gentlemen, you all ken my wife and you've pledged to listen. So, Elspeth, my dear, the flare belongs to you. I'll be as brief as I can and you'll no interrupt till I'm finished and then you can say what you want," she said in a small voice. "Are you a' agreed?" Again, they a' nodded their assent. She laid out her plan and they listened intently. At last, she was finished and leaned back in her chair, looking anxiously at the powerful men gathered about her. Lord Donald was first to speak. "Aye, we all knew it could be done. It would take a wheen of planning, but it could be done. Others would have to lend a hand, but aye, it could be done." James was in the porters and looking relieved. "There are folk we trust, and they'll be recruited with care." Well, he was already making plans in his mind. 20 minutes later, they were all agreed it could and would be done. Third Gatherin, 21st May. Was Elspeth Corey in attendance? "I'll speak first if nobody has any objection," Willie volunteered. "I've approached four good men that ken who to keep silent and are willing to go along with us. Twa for the jail house and twa for the court." He sat down. James stood up. "And I'll make arrangements to procure a body and a similar looking woman for the court appearance. The maisterless folk under the toon brig are thankin' for the help I gie and are willing to help by being accusers. I trust these folk with my life. Och, and I'll be gieing the woman comfort in her cell afore the burning." It was Judge John's turn. "I'll make sure I try the case and question the accusers in a manner that's eloquent and pertinent, without being our obstreperous." Robert spoke. "Elspeth and myself will take to the jailer and the executioner and discern which way their minds lie and see what we can do to secure their allegiance. There might be some smart of remuneration involved though." Lord Donald sat writing down all the information. "Attention to detail, gentlemen, is the key. I'll arrange for a fictional lady to be brought into existence and do the coordinating every step of the way. Are we all ready to put this plan into action?" "Hold on a minute," said Elspeth. "What are we going to cry this lady?" After a breath, Elspeth herself whispered softly, "We'll cry her Maggie Moore." All the gentlemen lifted their glasses. "To Elspeth Corey and our success," Lord Donald said, and they drank. Elspeth smiled and raised her ain glass. "I'm afeard for you all, gentlemen, but I will pray for you. By the will of God and your good selves, we'll overcome all that's in front of us. So fare thee well in all ye do." And she drained her glass. A month later, everything was set. The accusation had been made and a woman arrested and flung in jail. The trial was set, the witnesses well prepared, Judge John McLeish presiding. Maggie Wall was brought into court, a portly old woman, grey dirty hair keeking out for her bonnet and fond down over her face. Her clothes were filthy and worn, a pale looking sow. The accusers were the muckle better, but they played their part and held the rein with the questions of Judge McLeish. As was proved, the expectations of the folk in the courtroom carried the day and judgment was handed down. Maggie Wall was to be burnt the day after. That night, Reverend James was in the jail to comfort Pere Maggie Wall for dinner. He had brought with him a wooden kist to use as an altar table as he stayed there wheeling to the wee sma' hours. And when a' the streets were empty, his carriage was called for, and both he and the altar were put safely aboard. Early morning, 2 soldiers stacking wood and peat in the central pole, and by 9 o'clock a small crowd had gathered, and Maggie Wall was oxed out the jail and dragged up for her burning. Her head was down, her matted hair covered her face, her body was limp with despair. She was tied to the stake, and mercy was gained. She was strangled by the executioner. Mair tar and wood for by was piled on, and Maggie was set ablaze. They had pulled it off. The body that was burnt was an old woman who had died under the city bridge 2 days before. There was aye a body to be found among the pair of the city, and the woman that had played her part in the court as Maggie Wall was back home in Johnson, carried away by James once hidden in the altar kist. The same box which had taken the dead body into the jail the night afore. It was all at an end, except for the building of a large monument in minding of Maggie Wall, set up by unkempt body or bodies in Dunning, Perthshire. They gathered one mere time with quiet sermon, and they thanked the Lord for his mercy and guidance. Judge John made share the papers with the trial vanished. In actual fact, Maggie Wall didn't exist as a witch in the official records. Maggie Wall was the last witch burned at the stake in Scotland, and there was a real mystery about her death. There is nae record of her trial, and nae official mention of her name at that time, when it was seen to be of the utmost importance. No long after her death, visitors to Dunning were asking about Maggie. They were confounded, as none of the villagers kent who she was, and the minister of the parish maintained it was a hoax. He was nearer to the truth than he ever could have imagined. But somebody lured Maggie Wall, because in actual fact, there's a wreath and muckle mare laid each year at a monument by persons unkent, with the inscription cared saying, "In mind o' Maggie Wall, who was burnt by the kirk in the name of Christianity." Maybe it is in mind o' all the pale wretches who suffered at the hands of the ungodly.